Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
May 19th, 2019. Thank you for joining me yet again. Lots of important stuff to talk about today. I was actually pretty surprised to see what's going on in the news today. It's some pretty shocking stuff, and it's actually nothing we didn't expect, nothing we didn't see coming. If you've been watching this show, if you've been paying attention both to recent events and to U.S.'s history in creating these kind of events. But lots of big stuff. There's some updates on Venezuela as well I'm going to finish with today. We have veiled threats on Iranian planes by the United States. All of this kind of leading up to what's happening today. But let's start with just one story before we get into the breaking news, which is indeed that there are apparently rockets landing in Iraq that they're claiming near the U.S. embassy, as well as some now open. The most breaking thing I've seen is Trump outright saying that this is essentially Iran. I'll get to that in a moment, which is a very big deal. But let's begin on this train of events with a story from before this, coming from Strategic Culture, entitled U.S.-Iran Showdown is One False Flag Away from Global Calamity. Clearly, this is what we're seeing develop. Now, as the article begins, hypocritical to the core, the execution of false flag events spare aggressive states the embarrassment of appearing in public as the warmongering psychopaths that they are, lest their subjects get the wrong idea as to exactly who is governing over them. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo just delivered a warning that was so far beyond the pale of reality that it sounded as though it were scripted by a Hollywood film director with a penchant for embellishing American history. And this is, of course, a letter that was recently put out just before this all kicked off today. Let's go ahead and read this letter and see what Mike Pompeo had to say and see how, interestingly, this maybe aligns exactly with what's going on. As we've seen before, they say, don't you dare do this one thing. And then it just so happens that they appear to do that one thing. We've seen this in Syria. We've seen this all over the place. This is classic U.S. foreign policy, using fake events, lies, manipulations to carry these things out. Now, the letter reads, on Iran's escalating series of threatening actions and statements. That's the sub-headline. I'd love to see, first of all, any of these things that he's pointing to, these escalation of events or these threatening acts. Or are we just assuming that what they're pointing to is the truth? All the tankers and all the other nonsense that has been exposed and debunked so far. This is the same thing they talk about when they just kind of repeatedly point to Syria and all of the chemical attacks that Assad has been responsible for, except all the ones we've debunked and all the times the UN has said it wasn't them. And they just keep saying it. They just keep on saying it. Same thing here. Iran's the leading sponsor of terror, and they do bad, bad things, and all this stuff they can't point to. Now, it says the Islamic Republic of Iran has engaged in an escalating series of threatening actions and statements in recent weeks, period. So I guess we've all just moved on from the obvious reality that this is completely stemming from fake intelligence handed to Bolton from Israel, which we've already shown you is simply normal moves they've conducted in their own area. That's it. And they use that to step on to create the next event, which is seemingly another false flag, a dented boat used to make it seem like there's massive things happening, and yet nothing has happened. No evidence has shown up. Even their own allies are saying, what the hell's going on with one picture of a dented boat? Then we have Saudi Arabia claiming even more random things, tying the Houthis to it. And this is all completely unverified with no evidence, and yet he says point blank, actions and threatening statements in recent weeks, period. As if that's just a given. We all agree on that. But in fact, most don't. It goes on to say the response of the United States and our partners and allies has been clear. We do not seek war, which I think is absurdly the opposite of clear. We do not seek war, except you're in war with basically every country around the world today, it would seem. And the United States has been at war 99% of its history. Yeah, but they don't want war. Of course not. Throw aside your discernment, the facts, your information, just trust him. As always, it goes on to say, but Iran's 40 years of killing American soldiers, attacking American facilities and taking American hostages is a constant reminder that we must defend ourselves, he says. Again, as we have U.S. bases encircling the country of Iran, Iran hasn't attacked another country in over 250 years. All of these things we continue to point out are facts, undeniable, uncontrovertible fact. And yet he wants you to believe that the past 40 years has been consumed not with the U.S. overthrowing and toppling countries and leaving them decimated, killing civilians, unprecedented amounts all around the world. No. But Iran doing nothing in their country, except defending themselves. That is their, this is what we should be afraid of. 40 years of Iran essentially doing things that they claim they're doing with no evidence. It goes on to say the regime in Tehran should understand that any attacks by them or their proxies of any identity against U.S. interests or citizens will be answered with a swift and decisive U.S. response. So basically, anything happens anywhere that we decide to say is just kind of tangentially connected to Iran, we're going to attack you because of it. We're going to do something. It's exactly like we saw in Syria. Hey, if anything happens anywhere, if anyone uses chemicals, we're already going to blame Assad. So somebody please do it so we can point to Assad. Now, the same thing. Any attacks by them or their proxies, but of course, we understand that these proxies that they claim are proxies, Iran denies, which certainly could be, but there's no evidence other than them saying so, such as Hamas, Houthis, Hezbollah, all of them. That's what they claim are the terrorists. You know, not the actual terrorists that are being funded by the U.S. and Israel and Saudi Arabia. No, but political groups that they don't like, so they call them terrorists. But anything happens anywhere by groups that they claim are connected, that's it. And remember, this happened before the events of today. Interesting. Now it says, our restraint to this point. I can't even, he says our restraint. I would love someone to point out any point so far where the U.S. has shown even the slightest bit of restraint. It says our restraint to this point should not be mistaken by Iran for a lack of resolve. To date, the regime's default option has been violence. And we appeal to those in Tehran who see a path to a prosperous future through de-escalation to modify the regime's behavior. Now, he's speaking specifically to people like the MEK with it, that they want to see this country changed because they're the terrorist group that was once on the U.S. list of terrorism that Clinton took off, that Bolton and people like Rudy Giuliani and Elaine Chao have all supported and were and taken money for speeches and support these terrorist groups as they support so many others. But as the default option has been violence. Again, this is so disconnected from reality, I can't even stomach it. Point to an example of Iran creating violence, please. I'll wait. And then go ahead and point to examples of U.S. creating violence. I don't think I can wait for you to go over all of them throughout this show. I think you get what I'm saying here. Now, 1 week before... Okay. One week before the U.S. naval fleet turned up in Gulf waters, which interestingly, I would argue that, you know, it's possible there were things happening there before they claimed they were there. As I pointed out yesterday, those ships just happened to be right in the area where all this went down. But 1 week before the naval fleet turned up in Gulf waters, Pompeo was already laying the necessary groundwork for the buildup before even this statement, saying that the U.S. has observed escalatory actions from the Iranians and is equally the case that we will hold the Iranians accountable for attacks on American interests, he said, with nothing of the kind of any examples to point to. He just said it and he's saying it again, still with no evidence. And he goes, and again, without providing any details, even from the things he's pointing to. And he says, if these actions take place, if they do by some third party proxy, a militia group, Hezbollah, we will hold the Iranian leadership directly accountable for that. Now, easily, as I said, imagine any other group, including Israel, saying, hey, let's go carry out an attack so they'll clearly blame them like they just said they would. Or what about even a group like Hezbollah? What if they wanted to create something, knowing that they would blame Iran for it? They could easily do this. And as he just said, they're already going to blame Iran. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, other than the times it's happened in Syria. This is not logic whatsoever. This is them creating the circumstances that point to where they want it to point. Now, for anyone who followed the protracted Syrian crisis understands that this is exactly the sort of crazy talk that inspires friends and foes alike to pull off a false flag attack that will force the United States to live up to its word and go after the villains, which will predictably be, as was the case following the chemical attacks against Syrian rebels when the Assad regime was duly blamed, of course, the Islamic Republic of Iran. That's what they've already said they're going to do. And again, friends and foes alike, implying people like Israel would do this because this is what they've said they've wanted for a very long time. Now, that being the case, we have this building up with no evidence whatsoever the entire time. And then behind the scenes, each one of the previous ones being debunked along the way, they just don't turn back. Now we've seen this coming to fruition, it would seem. And I have reason to believe this is exactly what we're looking at. Coming from RT, I believe it's Katusha Rocket falls in Baghdad's green zone where U.S. Embassy is located. No casualties. Now, a blast was reported in central Baghdad, close to the fortified green zone in the Iraqi capital, where the embassies of the U.S. and other countries are located. As most of the coverage I've seen so far has been basically just that the U.S. is right there, but it's interesting to note that there are other embassies as well. Now, several journalistic sources, as it's being reported, are saying the U.S. embassy had come under rocket attack. Again, assuming that it's the U.S. embassy, there's other embassies in this area. So it could have been aimed at anyone as it was generally near this area. But of course, it's being reported reflexively that the attack was on the U.S. if this was even an attack. With regional Arabic media confirming a blast was heard in the vicinity of the embassy. So again, by actually applying logic and, you know, what journalists would do, you would look at this and say, well, it's certainly possible it was the U.S., but it also could possibly be any one of the other embassies that this was close to. But no, they don't. It's just it's U.S. because this, you understand, this is what they wanted. Even if this was a genuine attack, they don't care. They're going to use it to progress their agenda, as they always do. Historically speaking, that is 100% accurate. Now, a BBC correspondent in the region, Ali Hashem, reports that, quote, one Katyusha rocket was launched toward the U.S. embassy in the green zone in Baghdad. No reports of casualties. So we have multiple reports saying this, but, you know, largely coming from mainstream media correspondents. But in fact, it does seem that this is something that happened. But where and how it happened is what we should always be questioning. Now, according to the French press agency, initial reports indicate that the rocket was fired from an open field in the southern part of the Iraqi capital. So, I mean, obviously, as we always point out, what they're saying is certainly possible. Could this, I mean, what they're implying, and now it's already clear that this is what they're about to say, as I'll get to in a moment, that this is Iran. That this is Iran trying to attack the United States inside of Iraq. But of course, that just, you know, just coincidence that perfectly aligns with the U.S. agenda. As their issues with Iraq and they're fighting and Iraq wants them to leave. Now all of a sudden it's like, oh, look, Iran's attacking in your country. We got to stay. Weird how that works out, right? They want you to think that, but it's also certainly possible that it could have been anybody else who wants to see Iran demonized, such as Israel, such as Saudi Arabia, such as any other countries that want to just maintain a war state, because it's profitable. Now, the Katyusha is a multiple rocket launcher, which was developed in the Soviet Union during World War II. Now, the cheap and effective systems that could be mounted on ordinary trucks were further developed after the war. They were supplied to many countries, including Iraq. The point being that this ultimately could come from anywhere at this point. So the claims to try to tie this back to, let's say, Russia, because it's developed in the Soviet Union during World War II, are as ridiculous as that sounds. But this is what usually happens. Now, the Iraqi government has confirmed that the rocket was fired toward the embassy. But every report I've seen is it not necessarily hit the embassy, but in the vicinity of these embassies, with no further attacks reported and no casualties. Weird how all these recent events have been basically nothing really happened. They claim this event happened. No casualties, no injuries, no pictures, no evidence. All these things have happened so far with Iran have seemed like this. Am I the only one noticing that? Certainly just could be the case that there were no casualties, no injuries, you know, no evidence. That's always the case. Or it could be that this is being fabricated, something we should be asking ourselves. Funny enough, someone literally commented under this tweet when I put it out about the show today that said, and it was, I think the title of the person's name was, "I'll stand by Trump until he's gone," which is perfect. He literally said, "There's no such thing as a false flag." Now, whether he's trolling me or whatever, there are actually people that think that. They've been so brainwashed by the mainstream media that they think that's the case. Even though it's not only a documented historical concept that dates all the way back to ships when they would literally raise the wrong flag to trick other people, which is where it comes from, but that the U.S., as well as Israel, have clear documented history of doing exactly these kind of things. I just covered the USS Liberty, but yet people still want to say, well, that's not true. They would never pretend and make something up in order to demonize a country they want to overthrow, despite the fact that that's happened over and over and over in this country's history. It baffles me that people can't do their own research. Anyway, now earlier this week, the U.S. State Department had ordered the evacuation of all non-emergency and non-essential personnel, which we reported on at the time. Of course, at the time, as if being psychic as usual, citing intelligence we know now generally doesn't exist, that U.S. troops and assets in the region were under immediate threat from Iran or its allied proxy forces in the region. Now, remember, we already know that this credible threat, this credible information that came from Israel to Bolton was simply moves happening in Iran in their own waters defensively. How they, we know that they misconstrued that to make it seem it's an attack on the U.S. I was going to say how they did that is up to, well, clearly it was intentional in my opinion. But we have to see that that's what happened. And yet this is the case. They pulled these people out claiming that this was a threat. Now, that does that not perfectly line up with prepping this entire event, getting your people out of the way for a potential missile, if the missile's even true? I do think it was. But knowing that they were going to be doing this, wouldn't it make sense to pull your people out of the way first? Seems likely. Now, U.S. forces in Iraq and the Persian Gulf have been on high alert since John Bolton first announced that fake new intelligence on May 5th, claiming a heightened Iran threat that has put the U.S. and its allies in the crosshairs of the Middle East. Again, we know now is just basically innocuous moves by Iran that were triggered because of the U.S.'s aggressive actions. This was covered by the mainstream media. Not that that makes it real, but the reality is it's generally accepted even by the masses, that we now know that this was a misrepresentation by John Bolton and Netanyahu. Whether Trump knew that or not is up to you to decide. Now, the White House previously warned Iran that the U.S. will, quote, respond swiftly and decisively to any attacks by Tehran's allies in Iraq against Americans. So again, setting up the obvious example for case for anybody to do anything, with the White House already saying we're going to blame Iran, period. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Robert English did a video earlier this morning, and he clearly thinks that this was a false flag. He said himself very clearly, this is a false flag. This is coming. The U.S. has a very clear history of doing exactly that. Here's the image that was released with this, claiming that this was in Iraq, saying, okay, well, here is the, you know, the bomb site of Iraq. Well, guess what somebody else online happened to find from earlier this year that was supposedly from Syria? How interesting. So we have the same image being reported as if it was from Syria well before this event happened. Right? Here's the image again. This was supposedly from today. Now, one or both could be lying. It could just be somebody chose the wrong image, or however you want to look at this. But what we should be asking ourselves, as always, not really knowing because we'll never truly know, but we should be asking ourselves if this is not them lying to you, creating a fake event in order to carry out this kind of thing. That's what's called a false flag. Especially when it's this kind, when it's been built up, when you've been saying, look at this bad guy over here, he's probably going to do something. If he does any of these things, then we might have to act. And then they do exactly those things. And then we find all of the information within the narrative leading up to it, riddled with holes and misinformation and things that don't connect. We need to begin to look at this stuff. Now, again, it's possible that the image from today was a mistake. I simply don't think that's the case. We know for a fact that the image, whether or not it was actually in Syria, was well before this happened today. The timestamp is there. So this is clear indication that something is off. And we also know now that John Bolton is on the way to the war room, right? This is always an indication. We have a, you know, English was even reporting that his people on the ground think it was something as simple as a mortar fire. So this, which happens in these war-torn countries all the time. But one thing happens like this, and all of a sudden, Bolton's on his way to the White House. We need to figure this out. It's just one other indication that this is something that they were planning for. We have to recognize that. Now, here's the big one that I saw right before I went live. This is breaking news coming from the French press agency. Trump said, if Tehran wants to fight, it will be the official end of Iran. Now, you don't say something like that after this kind of event if you're not trying to stoke the tension. If they, like, clearly, this happens and he says, well, if you want to fight, it'll be the end of you. Now, he didn't say it explicitly, as I know some of his fans have a hard time with, but that is very clearly in response to this attack, which is very clearly implying that they're responsible for it. Nobody can know for sure what's really going down. As I always say, anyone out there telling you they know what happened is lying to you for one reason or another. But the reality here, my opinion, it seems very clear that this is another event being concocted by the very people that have just concocted the last three in a row leading to the same event. already full of holes, and even their own administration and people within Congress are pointing and saying this is out of control. There's something wrong here. I just reported about a bill that members of Congress, including a Republican, are right now trying to pass a bill that simply outlines that you can't carry out war against Iran. Ask yourself why we need something like that, knowing that Congress has the only authority to officially declare war. But we have to do it anyway, because this is how bellicose and dangerous things are today. I truly think this is a false flag. I truly think that we're watching this develop, whether or not there was actual mortar fire or not, we should be asking. But even if it was, just like we saw in Syria, without any investigation, they are immediately jumping to point to Iran every single time we see this, trying to get you all emotionally worked up before you can stop and reflect on the fact that there's no way we could know this for sure. And in fact, we have mountains of evidence to suggest that we have people such as Israel who would jump at the chance to kick this off between the United States and Iran, as they've wanted to for so long. And of course, now it gets even more unstable with what I call just basically veiled threats against Iran commercial airliners, entitled U.S. Alerts Airliners to Misidentification Risk if they fly over Persian Gulf. Now, as always, this is my interpretation of what I'm seeing here. Always come to your own conclusions. I could be completely off base, and this could just be, you know, the genuine people in the United States saying, hey, we just want to make sure that you don't have any mistakes here, so we're just looking out for you, Iran, because we care so much about you. And we want to make sure that we're just going to warn you that this may happen. Sure, because that sounds so much like what they've done up until now, but certainly possible. But you want my opinion? I think this is a threat. The United States has issued a formal warning to commercial airliners operating over the broader Gulf region of the risk of being misidentified as heightened U.S.-Iran tensions, which is the U.S. is completely responsible for, and American warships are positioned in the Persian Gulf. You know, all actions taken by the U.S., and they continue to call it U.S.-Iran tensions instead of just U.S. aggression, which is what it clearly is. But again, this is not just all commercial airliners. It's specifically Iran airliners, because they won't misidentify anybody else. Clearly, they have an issue misidentifying Iran airliners, as they've done before, which I'll get to in a moment. Now, the FAA's warning, it specifically said that commercial airliners flying over the Persian Gulf could be targeted by, quote, miscalculation or misidentification. Funny how you can be targeted because of a misidentification, even as the White House appeared to be softening its tone late in the week. But as we just reported, this seems more a ploy to fool public opinion than actually a genuine desire to de-escalate. Trying to play the average people saying, well, look, he says he wants to talk, so I don't think, you know, just, and then they continue their aggression. That's action versus rhetoric, right? Continue to point that out. They say a lot of things that don't happen. They do a lot of things they never say. We have to focus on what they're doing, not what they continue to lie about. Now it says, quote, although Iran likely has no intention to target civil aircraft, the presence of multiple long-range advanced anti-aircraft capable weapons in a tense environment poses a possible risk of miscalculation or misidentification, especially during periods of heightened political tension and rhetoric, the warning said. Now, Iran dismissed the U.S. warning as part of a continuing psychological war against Iran, which is, regardless of your opinion of all this, we can very clearly see that that's happening. Now, instead, a spokesman did call attention to the region's biggest civilian aviation tragedy in history, orchestrated not by Iran, but by the U.S. Navy. And I'm willing to bet that most of you Americans out there have never even heard about this. This is the story of Iran Air 655, where many civilians, including lots of children, died. And this was a rocket fired from the Navy, which brought this plane down. Now, quote, says, quote, there has never been a threat or risk to civilian air traffic. There's never been a threat or risk to civilian air traffic in the Persian Gulf from Iran. Iranian mission to the UN mission spokesman, Alireza Miryosifi, I'd probably rip that name apart, told the Associated Press. Clearly, there's never been a threat from Iran in this area, but it says, quote, one cannot forget the fact that it was indeed a U.S. warship that wantonly targeted an Iranian civilian passenger aircraft, which is a fact, by the way. This is not denied. This is a historical event that we pretend didn't happen, though. And it says the U.S. has yet to apologize for that act of terrorism against Iranian civilians. Thank you for the super chat. And they haven't. And imagine that. Imagine if that was in reverse and somebody said, whoops, we just murdered 300 people in that plane of yours, the United States. My bad. Or not even that. Not even, I'm sorry. Just, we did that. It was an accident. Move on. I'm sure that's how that would go, right? Now, he was clearly referencing Iran Air Flight 655, which, while carrying close to 300 people from Tehran to Dubai, was shot down on July 3rd, 1988 by the United States in the Persian Gulf in what the American commander said was a case of, you know, just a quirky case of mistaken identity. Whoops. Sorry about the 300 people we killed. But again, not even that. No apology. Just that was not what we meant to do. Please move on. Now, the Navy at the time said it mistook the commercial airliner for an Iranian F-14, if you can believe that. All 290 people on board died, including over 60 children. In a tragedy which Iranians have never forgotten, but which much of the American public has likely never even heard about. All these continuing stories where, you know, they try to make them out to be the bad guys. They talk about the evil, you know, the U.S., which they're clearly, as they've even made clear in recent years, are talking about the government, not American people. The same reason they talk about Zionism, not the Israeli people. They've made that clear. But you see, the Western media doesn't want you to know that. They want you to think they hate all Americans, but they don't. They see people like me who are speaking the truth. They recognize it's the rogue governments that are the problem. But we wonder why they might have that animosity. Gee, I wonder why. That the United States has the gall to warn against the threat Iran poses right now to civilian aviation and their safety is just a testament to how backward things are today. Ignorance is strength. War is literally peace, as it would seem. Staggering stuff to see. And again, the fact that no one knows this even happened shows you the truth of what these people are. And we have to recognize who the real threat is in all of this as this story continues to develop, as the lies continue to fall apart, and the people who are telling those lies are, again, recognized as the people who have been telling us lies over and over and over throughout history. And then you just stand back and ask yourself, why the hell did I trust him again? Now, in addition, this was actually given to me by Keith right before we went live, and I thought this was very interesting that this was the timing of all of this. Oh, I think there it is. I put it in the wrong spot. Explosion hits Israeli military base in Tel Aviv. Now, this wasn't today, but the timing of this seems very, very interesting to me. Apparently, at least one explosion has rocked an Israeli military base in Tel Aviv, causing a fire and inflicting material damage, according to the media. Now, here is the footage itself. And this did indeed happen. Now, the explosion occurred at a medical warehouse at the Tel HaShomer military base and ignited a fire at the site, according to Israeli media. Now, it was not immediately clear what caused the explosion, but reports said it inflicted massive damage on the site. Again, no casualties were reported. Now, some Israeli reports said that there had been more than one blast. Always the weird inconsistencies when they report this stuff. Now, Israeli Daily, the Jerusalem Post, cited an unnamed military official, said that firefighters had contained the fire. Now, Israeli authorities have not yet commented on the development at all. Which is very interesting, this development and the timing of it all and how it ties in with what is going on here. And I find it, I truly think that that event is going to come back up. I think that had something to do with what we're talking about here. And whether or not it was another bungled attempt to create a false flag or whatever we're looking at, the timing cannot be ignored. And I thought it was incredibly relevant to include, as right now, anything that's happening against Iran or it just in general that they can make look like it's including Iran, they're doing so in every possible way. No investigation, no evidence. They simply say Iran did it because they're the bad guy. And everyone goes, oh, yeah, they're the bad guy. That makes sense. And they don't listen. They don't think. And this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to show you the history of these people and how often they've lied, how many times they've been caught, and how many times they've done it in exactly this kind of thing, and how long Iran has been in the crosshairs. Long before this has been happening over and over and over in these countries. We've talked about Operation Ajax and their overthrowing of the country, and how in 79, the Iranians took their country back. And ever since then, they've been in the crosshairs again. It's about control. It's about Israel's foreign policy agenda, and it's about how they're executing it. They will do anything, as they've already shown us in their history, to trick you into believing that what they're doing is for the greater good. It's what they do. It's what their policy has always been. That's what I'm trying to show you. Now, let's move on to a couple other updates before we end the show today about what's going on in Venezuela. And as I've always pointed out, these things all clearly tie together in so many different ways. I mean, not to mention the fact that we just talked about Israel being present in South America, which I'm sure that's not important to the mainstream media, but they care so much when Russia helps Venezuela and their ally. It's just wild hypocrisy. Clearly there's connections here, but this from Zero Hedge. Russia announces delivery of more supplies to Venezuela's military. Clearly, in my opinion, showing you that Russia is not fazed by the threats of the United States, knowing that this is another failed effort. I think at this point, with how bad it's gotten, I'm going to go ahead and like guess that I feel like the U.S. is going to try to just kind of slowly let this be forgotten. I really hope it's not going to go the other way, which would be military invasion. I really don't see them having any other options at this point. But it seems like we've shifted to Iran in such a way that I think they could essentially just kind of slowly phase out the Venezuela talk and try to make themselves not look as bad while maintaining an agenda of destabilization, just like they do in Syria. So they can continue to point to it and say, see, we're trying to fix that, but it's because of them it's happening. Same thing they're doing in Syria right now. They failed in Syria, again, because of Russia. Russia saving the Syrian people, along with Iran and the Syrian government. Facts. Pesky little facts. Interesting. The correlation to all of it. Now, even after repeat threats from Donald Trump, which we've all seen, over and over and over, about what's going on in South America, Russia now appears just completely unconcerned by these warnings and announced that its Maduro support, their support for Maduro well ahead of time with their state media, which they haven't really done in the past. They're openly saying this is about to happen. Now, Russian news agency TASS said on Friday, citing a military diplomatic source, that Russia plans to supply Venezuela's army with more than 16,000 field rations. As I understand it, a little over $200,000 in value. Now, this is clearly meant to show Washington that the Kremlin is not going anywhere and plans on helping yet another ally avoid U.S. liberation, you know, which looks an awful lot like destruction. Now, though Venezuela has retreated from the headlines, as the article puts it, in recent days, it clearly has. And with Maduro in full control, which he very much is, reportedly hunting down the failed coup plotters, which we've talked about recently, analysts now fear that the U.S. and Russia are settling in for a protracted proxy war, a new Cold War of sorts in Latin America, which is exactly what Bolton himself said. But as always, they want you to ignore such relevant points, such as what the man himself actually said, and instead trust the political talking points regurgitated by the mainstream media. But as documented by Eva Bartlett in one of her recent articles, a great one, by the way, which you should read, U.S. is manufacturing a crisis in Venezuela so that there is chaos and needed intervention. Now, the article reads, in a meeting with the U.S. Peace Council delegation in mid-March, Venezuela's Foreign Minister Jorge Arreaza spoke of the openly hostile U.S. leadership. It says, quote, when you have such an administration saying almost every single day, all the options are on the table, and they say the military option is not discarded, then we have to be prepared for all of the options. Which, you know, it makes perfect sense, because clearly they're threatening hostile action. Now, when we told Mr. Elliot Abrams, the coup has failed, so now what are you going to do? He kind of nodded and said, quote, well, this is going to be a long-term action then, and we look forward to the collapse of your economy. That's the demeanor of a sociopath. I mean, you know, we'll look forward to the collapse of your economy that we know are killing people, right? Even if you pretend the sanctions aren't hurting people, the collapse of your economy clearly affects civilians. But that's the point. That's what they're doing. And here he is on record that mainstream media would never report to you, basically saying, yeah, well, screw you. We'll look forward to the collapse of your economy because you're resisting. We're going to kill everything and destroy your country until we get what we want, because that's what we do. You can't misunderstand what we're seeing here. And they just simply don't want you to see this stuff. It's unbelievable. But Russia's not backing down, as we can clearly see. They are going to continue to help. They're going to continue to be there. And I would argue probably even with actual military troops. which they deny, which they claim is not happening. They claim they're just helping in other ways, but it's still, they're an ally. That's Venezuela's country. The U.S. has no right to tell them they can't do whatever they want in their own country, regardless of what other doctrine they try to point to. But then at the same time, the hypocrisy of pretending it's okay for Israel to go into Honduras or going to other countries, even though Honduras, as well as many of the other countries, such as Brazil and Colombia, are struggling way more than what we're seeing in Venezuela, but they don't tell you that. That's what real humanitarian crises look like. That's what real drug trafficking actually looks like. But they don't talk about that. It's only about the countries that have lots of oil and gold. Interesting how that works. But again, as Abram said, well, we'll look forward to the collapse of your economy. It's just going to be another protracted proxy war, vindictive-wise, just simply trying to punish them for not allowing them to take their country. Thank you for the super chats, everyone. Kerry, I appreciate it. Now, to end today, you know, just that small little story being regularly ignored by the mainstream media about the largest protest movement in our lifetime. Yeah, that's still happening. The LFS have now been ongoing for almost 7 months. And still, they simply do not want you to be paying attention to it. They don't want you to even know that it exists. They don't want you to know that this massive protest movement is even there. And in most cases, the mainstream media in large is saying, oh, look how it's fizzled out. Look, there's nobody there. But this doesn't look like nobody there. This is 7 months straight, almost. 7 months. And it's a worldwide protest movement. And they want you to think it's nothing. They want you to think it doesn't exist. And these are the people, look how far back that goes. These are the people that are fighting against what we're talking about. The globalism, the corruption in our governments, the overwhelming taxation without representation. This is what we're talking about, and they simply do not want you to be paying attention to it. As Sarah Abdallah tweeted, mainstream media isn't interested in covering these gigantic anti-Macron yellow vest marches happening in Paris today, because unlike Venezuela, France isn't sitting on the biggest oil reserves in the world. Hashtag yellow vests. Completely agree. She also, I think I saw Ben Norton tweet out recently. There's all these different comparisons, right? We saw something about showing a prison inside the United States. Except saying, oh, look at this terrible prison in Moscow. And then later, you know, underneath it saying, oh, wait a minute, my bad, that's in the United States. And it's just the ridiculous nature of how we demonize these things and when we have much worse happening, even within our own countries, including France. How we continue to see all the metrics by which they try to make Maduro seem illegitimate, Macron is far worse, far less support, far less voter turnout. But they don't sell you that. Because it's not about the truth. It's not about fighting for what's really happening or supporting a genuine protest movement. It is about manipulating your perception. It is about getting you to support the people that they want you to support. Things like the Yellow Vests are what we should be supporting. That's a genuine, organic movement happening. And they don't want you to talk about it. I mean, it's just as bad as the mainstream media still refusing to talk about Yemen. Even though we just talked about over 60 civilians being killed. But I guess they just missed that one. Same how they just miss all of the things going on with the Yellow Vest. This is the reality. This is what's going on in our world today. These people are doing everything in their power to keep the truth from you. But that's why I'm here. That's why I come on every day. To bring you a little slice of the truth that I can find. And my opinion around it. In hopes that you will dive further into the truth. Because you simply won't find it on the mainstream media today, and I think you all know that. Thank you so much for joining me today. I think we're going to see these events continue to increase, sadly, and we will continue to cover them. But I think it's very obvious what we're seeing play out here, whether these events, especially the recent bomb in Iraq, was an actual bomb or a fake event altogether, it's being used nonetheless to carry out aggressions against Iran without investigation, without evidence, like they've always done. And I'm hoping that your people watching and the new people to the show are beginning to see it as well. If you'd like to support this channel, you can do so in the show notes. Check us out on Truth Clothing. You buy a Question Everything t-shirt. Show everybody that you question everything. Show everybody that you're aware that you're being lied to. Or you can check us out on PayPal, Bitbacker, Patreon, however you'd like to support the channel. We are people funded, 100%. Other than that, simply just get out there and share the link. Make sure you check out our clips from the shows from before. I break down every single show every day, the following day, into its clips so you can share the shorter parts of the show because I know a lot of people don't like the longer version. For instance, we covered Israel yesterday, attacking Syria twice in 24 hours that nobody still seems to talk about. And of course, the video was cut out and choppy the whole time, just during the Israel part. I'm sure that's coincidence. But I was able to repost it using my offsite recording, so now that video is up in full for you to watch in its clip. So make sure you go back and share those clips as well. Keep waking people up. Keep fighting for the truth. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.